This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Today. Over the last five seasons, the running back who finished RB1 overall in PPR was drafted as RB9, RB3, RB1, was McCaffrey, of course, RB6, and RB4. That was McCaffrey, of course. Who will it be this season? And based on what I just said, do you even want the number one pick in your draft? And if you don't want it, let me know. I will take it. Welcome to part one of our running backs preview. Today, we're going to talk about some overall strategy, how strategies change in different formats, sleepers, breakouts, busts, a little bit of ADP review if we can get into that. If not, we'll do all of that tomorrow. Good morning, Dave. Happy Running Backs Day.
Oh, this is one of my favorite days of the year. There was once a time where I was insane over the running back position, even suggested that they were the lifeblood of fantasy football and you should draft three with your first three picks. And then things changed and zero RB became a thing. And then hero RB became a thing. And over the last 2 years, you know what hasn't been a thing? Amazing wide receiver performances in mass. It's been a couple of guys, but the running back position has come back strong. The way NFL defenses are playing has helped that come back. And so I'm in a relapse, Adam. I'm a full-blown RB guy again.
Heath, what excites you about the running back position?
Well, what excites me is quoting tweets that I can't find, so I can't give credit for them. But to your point, I believe the number one pick has been a losing proposition in high-stakes fantasy football leagues over the last 5 years. We did always think that, like, it's a huge advantage to pick number one. It has been a disadvantage to pick number one for the last 5 years. The thing that I love about the running back position this year is there's so many different ways to attack it. You can take running backs with your first two or three picks and be a Dave, or if things fall right, especially if you're drafting fifth, sixth, seventh in the draft, you can start wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and still have two starting running backs.
Can I say one quick thing? I don't want to draft running backs with my first three picks. Yeah. Maybe in a non-PPR, like 10-team non-PPR, okay. But I don't really... that was a lot of sizzle at the start of the show. Two running backs, first three picks, okay. That's the limit.
Okay.
Thank you.
By the way, Heath, what you were saying there, you're not going to get this reference, I'm sure. What you were saying about not having the number one pick being a bad thing gave me major Tobias Funke vibes of going... but it might work for us.
I 100% get that. Okay. My wife and I have been rewatching that show. We've reached the point to where it, like, fast forwards 5 years. But no, it's a fantastic quote.
It's the best. All right, so with that in mind, let's take a look at a couple of Twitter polls that were somewhat easily won here. Who's your RB1 this year in PPR? The voters said 73% Jahmyr Gibbs, 27% Bijan Robinson. And that's how you guys have it, right?
Yes.
All right.
100%.
We love the potential for Gibbs. Keep in mind, over the last 3 years, Gibbs has been so good. He's leading the position in fantasy points per touch. And David Montgomery in that stretch has the second most goal line carries in the NFL. So it's amazing that Gibbs has been able to do that with David Montgomery. Next poll, and Thomas, you know, our producer Thomas Schaefer voted in this poll, and he said he didn't really know, so he just put someone else. So he had trouble with this. A lot of people did, but who is your RB3 this season after Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs in PPR? And Christian McCaffrey gets 45% of the vote. Jonathan Taylor, 28%. James Cook, 16%. Interesting there that Taylor and Cook have such similar profiles. And by the way, a lot of buzz that they're going to throw to James Cook more this year. But I get it. You see the receptions are higher for Taylor, so I get it. And 11% said someone else. So who's your RB3? 45% McCaffrey, 28% Taylor, 16% Cook, 11% someone else. Heath, who's your RB3?
In the projections, it's Christian McCaffrey. In my rankings, it's Jonathan Taylor. I think it really, I'm going to draft Christian McCaffrey in the middle of round one in at least one or two leagues, just so I have a little Christian McCaffrey. But I do think that Taylor also gives you 20-point upside, just not 25-point upside. And I like the situation a lot for him. He's only 6 points behind McCaffrey in my projections, and he feels safer.
Dave, RB3?
Definitely feels safer. I've got him. I'm with the 28% who have Jonathan Taylor. I am intrigued by James Cook getting even 11%. 10% of the people watching this poll, a little bit more than that, think that he's the RB3. That's interesting to me.
I think if you talk about Cook and Taylor, what's the difference? And they both were, you know, among the league leaders in carries.
So
and
last year, the difference was 3 fantasy points per game. That's a pretty big difference.
Okay, but obviously,
the year before, McCaffrey, the difference was 1 point per game.
And you know what? You got to get rid of week 18 for James Cook.
Yes. It's 2.5 points per game.
Okay.
The year before, it was 2 points per game. Like, James Cook has literally never been as good as Jonathan Taylor.
And if we're going to start Azer statting, which is, you know, something we do on this show, and we're going to take away James Cook's week 18, do we take away all the games Jonathan Taylor did not have with Daniel Jones? Because in the games he did have with Daniel Jones, 24.8 PPR points per game. That would have been better than everybody. Better than Gibbs, better than Bijan, and even a little bit better than full season Christian McCaffrey.
I think what would pull me toward James Cook is this fear of the Colts offense really regressing, whereas the Bills offense has been top 3 in points per game in 5 of the last 6 seasons, top 6 in points per game in 6 straight seasons, and James Cook has been a pretty big touchdown scorer. So I don't know, look, if you just look at carries and catches, it's probably going to be fairly close between Taylor and Cook, right?
If Jones is healthy all season long, I would take Taylor.
In what? In everything?
Targets and catches. And Taylor had 3.3 targets per game with Daniel Jones. I don't know how many he had overall. I'd have to double check. But I don't know if you care that much.
No, it's okay. Look, I get it. Okay. Here, I want to tell you my favorite Christian McCaffrey stat. He's been on the 49ers 4 seasons. One of them was a partial season. I think he had 11 games 4 years ago. He was a terrible bust, played 3.5 games in 2024. Christian McCaffrey was the number 1 or number 2 running back per game in each of the other 3 seasons. Amazing.
Yeah.
Here's my least favorite stat about Christian McCaffrey. Everything else. there's so much going against him. The history of all the 450 touches last year. We've talked about that a lot. But also some other things, he was pretty bad per carry last season. He has 1 carry longer than 24 yards in his last 2 seasons, which one of them was only 3.5 games, like I said. But he hasn't been as explosive. I think that could come back. I think he looked good, but that's just my personal opinion. His target per route run rate's been a lot lower when Deebo Samuel's been on the field. When George Kittle's been on the field last year, at least, his target per route run rate was lower. And that's, it's just like there are some concerns with Christian McCaffrey. And also, last year we had 3 running backs entering their age 30 season. Remember who they were? Hint, they were all horrible busts.
Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones was one of them. Now, these aren't guys that were just older than 30. They were entering year 30.
Age 30 season.
James Conner?
James Conner and Alvin Kamara. And they were all coming off pretty good. Man, age 29.
You could have let me guess. I just about won the contest, there. And you just go ahead and ruin it for me.
And they were all coming off pretty good age 29 seasons. So I think.
What about Kareem Hunt? He was in an age 30 season last year.
That's no good.
No.
Yeah. So listen,
Samaje Perine.
Y'all know Austin the deal with Christian McCaffrey. You're just going to have to see how risky you want to be. All right, Heath, what's your overall running back strategy if you have one this year?
I don't. I've long been the proponent of no intentional positional strategies, and I still maintain that. I will tell you what happens most often. So if I have the chance to draft Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson, I do that in round 1 and probably take another running back in round 2 or round 3 because of the shape of how ADP works. If I have a pick at the end of round 1, I generally draft a running back with one of those 2 picks at the 1-2 turn, one of those 2 picks at the 3-4 turn. The one place where ADP and my rankings seem to lead me to really wait on the running back position is when I'm drafting in the middle of the draft. And if I have a pick around pick 5 or 6 or sometimes 7, if McCaffrey goes before Amon-Ra St. Brown, then I will often start wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and then just stockpile running backs after that.
That's a late pick. Oh, that's a mid pick. A mid
pick. Mid pick. Yes.
So let me ask you this with your, so like if you have an early pick, then obviously you know the two running backs that you're considering with a top five right. pick. And then he comes back to you at the 2-3 turn, and we're looking at guys like, it could be anyone because they could all fall. Like it could be Amarian Hampton one draft. It's probably not going to be Ashton Jeanty. It could be Barkley. It could be Derrick Henry. It could be Kenneth Walker. I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, we on this show don't want to take Jeremiah Love at the 2-3 turn, do we, in a 12-team league?
Correct.
Okay. So, but he is there. But if you like Henry or Barkley or Kenneth Walker, maybe you like Kyren Williams there. Josh Jacobs could certainly enter this discussion. Those are the guys you're looking at. I wonder, though, if you're picking late, Heath, who are the running backs you're comfortable taking at the 3-4 turn, assuming, let's say Jacobs is off the board, which he might not be, but right now he's going about 30th. Kyren's off the board most likely at the 2-3 turn. Even Breece Hall is off the board. Who do you feel comfortable taking roughly 36th overall?
So I have definitely in our drafts taken Kyren there. I have definitely in our drafts taken Breece Hall multiple times there. So I think those are two of the potential options that are sometimes gone, but certainly not always gone. I think if he happens to fall to that range, Josh Jacobs. Yeah. I have taken both Cam Scataboo and Quinshon Judkins there as well. And I think they might be guys that are training camp risers. Wouldn't be surprised if one of Scataboo or Judkins is ahead of Breece Hall in 3 weeks.
Are you intrigued by the idea of having both of those second year running backs as your RB1 and RB2? Oh. Meaning you spend your first two picks on wide receivers and this little basket of running backs that Adam is putting in front of you, if Scataboo and Judkins pop out of that, are you okay with those two guys being your top two running backs?
The reason that doesn't happen for me yet is that when I'm picking at the back half of round one, it's always Drake London still there. He's the only wide receiver in round one that I still have available. CeeDee Lamb's almost is always gone. I don't take Justin Jefferson that early. And then there's always one of Achane or Chase Brown that are there mm-hmm. also. Yeah. And I have them ahead of all of the wide receivers. So I'm probably going to take Hampton and Jeanty now ahead of those wide receivers also. So there's just not the wide receivers at the 1-2 turn to keep me from taking at least one running back when I'm picking at the end of the draft.
But I want to focus on, I think, a couple of different groups of running backs that could be available starting in mid to late round three. And if you're making this decision and do you make it, first of all, if you take Scataboo and Judkins, it is really enticing, especially the way they're talking about Judkins right now, being maybe playing on three downs, whatever. And I get it. However, you are taking two running backs coming off gruesome leg injuries, and we just won't know for sure if they're going to be themselves. So that's just something to keep in mind. But in the middle of round three, there are four running backs that have ADPs around 30, 31, 32, that if they fall to the late round three, you're probably going to feel good taking them. And you just correct me if I'm wrong, if you disagree. But they're Jacobs, Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, and Javonte Williams, who we haven't mentioned. Okay. So Heath, you'd take all of those at the 3-4 turn if they were there?
Yeah, I'm a little lower on Javonte. So he's the guy I probably wouldn't take.
And Dave, you're not so big on Breece Hall.
Correct. And I'm higher on Javonte. So Jacobs, Javonte, Kyren Williams. And you could even throw Love and Scataboo into that mix too. That would be the group of running backs I'd be okay with.
Okay.
Not so much Judkins. I'm not where Heath is on Quinshon Judkins, which is why I asked him the question that I asked him.
And then if you pass up those guys and you're waiting until, let's say, late round five, then you could maybe get Montgomery and Swift to fall to you, which would be great, but more likely it's Bajal Touton, Jadarian Price, Jalen
Pollard.
Who's that? Pollard. Yeah, Pollard's got a pretty low. Pollard's ADP is 76th right now.
And I have both taken Pollard in round five and been sniped one pick early with someone taking Pollard before me in round five. So I would not necessarily count on Pollard making it to 70. It just depends. Some of the drafts, running backs, what people just get scared. They get FOMO, I think. and they just keep going. I've been in drafts where Ramondre Stevenson's the best running back left in round five.
I think, well, the point I was trying to make was if you don't have two running backs before, you know, round five, you got to figure out where's your limit. Are you okay with Bajale Touton, Jadarian Price, and Tony Pollard as your RB2? Because I look at the wide receivers in that range, you know, maybe DJ Moore, Jameson Williams, Mike Evans, Romo Dunze, kind of like those guys better than the running backs. I don't know how you feel, but coming back, if you have a pick late in the first round, I feel like you're going to like your, I'm going to like my options at wide receiver better than my options at running back in the fifth round. So that might influence your strategy a little bit. If you want to say, hey, I want to get two running backs early in that case, so I don't have to rely on a shaky situation for my RB2. But you, also you just can't be great everywhere, right? That's part of it. Like if your RB2 is bad, that probably means your other positions are that much stronger. All right, anyway, it's a question to ask yourself. Dave, I'm going to get your running back strategy, after this break. We'll take a break and get your thoughts. Heath laid it out from different spots in the draft. Good stuff. We'll come back with Dave's running back strategy after this.
This past summer, my wife and I took my parents, our son, and our granddaughter on vacation to Tennessee. We wanted to get out into nature, so we found the perfect cabin on Airbnb where all four generations could stay together. The amenities really made the trip special. We had our own hot tub with a mountain view, a fire pit for late night s'mores, and a full kitchen. When you're traveling with four generations, eating every meal out gets expensive, so it was great to make bacon and eggs for breakfast one morning and grill steaks for dinner another night. Booking a stay like this gives you the flexibility to vacation how you want, where you want, with the people who matter most. But it got me thinking, Airbnb isn't just great for finding places to stay. You can also list your own home when you're away. It's nice that the same platform I use to book family vacations can also help me earn a little extra money during high-demand weekends without having to upend my daily life. Honestly, listing my house feels like a smart thing to do because it's just so incredibly practical. I'm already going to be traveling anyway. So why not earn a little extra money to put toward an upcoming vacation, help offset the cost of my flights, or upgrade my travel gear? Turns an empty house into an easy opportunity while you enjoy your own time off. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tonight's a big night. It's FFT open night. We're going to tell you about that in just a minute. But Dave, what's your running back strategy this year?
I'm going to follow the macro trends across the National Football League and look at running back early in fantasy drafts. At bare minimum, one with my first three picks. And yeah, I like two with my first three. If it's three with my first three, I know I've already said, yeah, I don't really want to do that. But dude, if a running back slips, I'm going to have a hard time resisting, especially assuming I can start all three. Like if I'm in the league with two running backs and no flex, why would I draft a third? That's stupid. But we've seen this decline in pass attempts. It's down to 2.3 pass attempts per game per team over the last 4 years. There's been a decrease in wide receiver targets across the board to go along with it, while running back rush attempts have basically been flat year over year over year. And the efficiency has gone up a little bit across the board. But more importantly, there are more running backs getting 15 plus touches per game now than there were in 2021, as an example. So the result of all this is an uptick in fantasy points. I want to buy into that. I do not like zero RB as a typical fantasy redraft league build. Obviously, there will be some formats where it might make more sense, but certainly look for at least one stud running back early on, at least to anchor the position. It's okay if you want to have RB2 as a weak spot, but to have RB1 and RB2 as a weak spot, it's going to make your lineup very, very ugly. And others in the league are going to attack those running backs. I don't want you to have FOMO of missing out on at least one of those big name guys. The other thing I'll recommend is draft a lot of running backs. I'm going to end a lot of my drafts this year, maybe with my entire bench made up of running backs, because I want to take shots on players who have the potential, if things break right for them between a split backfield. Think of the Washington backfield as an example, Rashad White versus Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, or a running back that's a clear 1B or a backup, a Tyrone Tracy. Maybe I wait for Zach Charbonnet to come back and look good before I put him in the lineup. But I want to have a lot of running backs. I want to take chances on that position, at least have them on my team to begin the year, and then I can weed out the ones who suck, get some other players at different positions off the waiver wire once the season starts, but at least I'm carrying those running backs into the season to give my team a chance to have some big upside and some breakout players and some sleepers too from running back.
And here's just a look, if you're watching on YouTube, at the pick by pick series we did, where Dave had the third pick last week, I believe.
Good example.
He took Bijan Robinson with the third pick. I took Chase with the second pick, if you're wondering. And then he took Saquon Barkley with the 22nd pick in the draft. And he comes back with Ibuka, McMillan. He still has Jalen Hurts at quarterback, Tyler Warren. Brian Thomas Jr. is his wide receiver three. Great pick with Ricky Pearsall in round eight.
Thank you.
He's out for the year, by the way.
Yeah, this draft was obviously done before Pearsall was hurt.
But you took Jones. So you have two anchor running backs in Bijan and Saquon Barkley. And then you got the other positions. You have Jonah Coleman, Jordan James, Alvin Kamara late. It's not the best depth, but you do have two studs. Your other team from the nine spot, you also went running back, James Cook, Chase Brown. Yeah, I mean, I think if any of us see Chase Brown at his ADP, which is kind of like where Dave took him, we're going to be pretty excited about that, though. So Chase Brown, I'll just get you his ADP real quick.
Oh, yeah, I think he's a first rounder.
Yeah, he's going 16th. So we
I would look at him as a top 12 player overall.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the whole team, but Dave, read the pick by pick series, picks three and picks nine, written by Dave, and you can see how he started his team in a three receiver PPR league. Both teams, he started running back, and he ended up with good rosters here. If you don't like the build, then that's fine, and then you that's informative as well. But that's just how we did it, how Dave did it there. Okay, so let's see, let's say the draft just falls to you where, I took two wide receivers with my first two picks, or two non-running backs, and some, you know, maybe you.
Well,
took
a if you would have stayed on the pick by pick, you would have seen that I did that on pick team six. I took Amon-Ra St. Brown, George Pickens, and Zay Flowers, and it seems like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Zay Flowers are the common picks on my three wide receiver teams to start, and then took three running backs by the next three picks: Breece Hall, Tony Pollard, and Bashaul Tuten.
Yeah, Breece Hall in the middle of round four. Now, we at CBS don't really like Breece Hall as much as the drafters do. He's going 30th.
I think I do.
Okay.
Where do you have him ranked?
I have him 30th.
30th?
Okay, so you do.
And then you took Tony Pollard and Bashaul Tuten, which is the opposite order of how they're being drafted in ADP. So you got your guys there. And who are your quarterbacks? Dak Prescott. And your tight end is who? Andrews?
Tight end is where that team fell apart. Right. I wish I would have taken Sam Laporta instead of Tony Pollard, but yeah, I've got Andrews and Hunter Henry.
Okay. So look, we go every year, you do this, you know, how do you build your team? There's no right answer, but the pick by pick series, I think, should really help you. If you want to read the articles, figure out what kind of build you like once you know which pick you have in your draft. Okay. Let's see. Let's do sleepers breakouts. Oh, no, let's talk about the FFT Open real quick. Today is Monday, August 3rd. Today is a huge day. Today we begin, not begin, it's already underway, our draft-a-thon. But today we begin the FFT Open purchase process, where you can join leagues with me, Dave, Heath, Jamie, Dan, Jacob, plus 30 other fantasy analysts, basically. It is a 36 division tournament, 36 12 team leagues where, oh, they're already listed, but they're not. Okay. They're listed. So you can see who's available. But
people are camping out outside waiting for the chances. Adams will be gone at 7:01. Jamie's will be gone at 7:02. Dave's will be gone at 7:03. Mine ought to be gone by 7:10. So get in there.
You're selling yourself short. I think all of ours will be gone by 7:02 or 7:03. But we have so many damn leagues. Look who's in it. Andy Holloway of the Footballers.
Dan Schneier
of Beyond the Box Score. Who else? Chip Patterson, Alfredo Brown, Chris Harris. His league sold out super quick. Ian Harditz, Gary Davenport, Chris Towers. You know him. His league will sell out very quickly as well. But we have 36 leagues. tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. Jake Seeley, Jeff Ratcliffe, JJ Zachariasen, who is on the next page here. Okay. Oh, there we go. Kendall Valenzuela and Adam Ronis from Fantasy Life. Justin Boone, Joe Pisapia. I'll stop there. You can see it. Go to tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. You're not going to believe some of the names we pulled. You know what? I'll keep going. Matt Harmon, Mike Florio, Michael F. Florio.
Theo.
Theo Greminger. So It's really star-studded. Nando's got a league this year.
What?
Yeah.
Look at Thomas Schaefer's got the star there. It's beautiful. He's a star.
So anyway, it all goes to St. Jude. $250 to enter. Share it with somebody if you need to. We'll raise $99,000 for St. Jude if we sell it out. Again, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. They're on sale. Go get yourself a spot in the FFT Open. And download the CBS Sports app, for goodness sake. The CBS Sports Fantasy and the CBS Sports app. The CBS Sports Fantasy app is phenomenal. New and improved. You're going to love it. The feedback's been great. And you can scan that QR code on our stream right now. Dave, fill in the blank. My favorite sleeper running back is blank.
My favorite sleeper running back is probably, I don't really love him, but Jonah Coleman would probably top the list for me, just banking on J.K. Dobbins not staying healthy, Jonah Coleman already getting some opportunities in the Denver offense. He's the type of rookie running back that you can draft late, low capital, and then you can just be patient with him. So when I do draft Jonah Coleman, I'm thinking he's going to be on my roster for a month if I can help it, and then I can reevaluate him from there. I did see that J.K. guaranteed that he would play 17 games.
J.K.?
I'm kind of hoping that he does, because we all root for him. We all love him. He's the best 11 PPR, 11 half PPR, 11 non-PPR running back that you could get. But I do think Coleman will carve out at least a small role. I will eat these words if Taysom Hill ends up signing with Denver, though.
Yes, it's a big factor right now that we have to consider. Heath, who's your favorite sleeper?
I think I can do this for one more week, because I generally qualify sleepers as guys with an ADP outside of the top 100. His ADP is right now like 102.9 and rising. It's Jonathan Brooks, the future, maybe current, starting running back for the Carolina Panthers. He's going to stay healthy this year. Dave said J.K. Dobbins was going to stay healthy, or J.K. Dobbins said he was going to stay healthy. Jonathan Brooks is healthy. He's a more talented running back than Chuba Hubbard. They want to throw him the ball a lot. They want him to take this job. He'll probably do it by mid-August.
Wow. Okay. Heath, who's your favorite breakout?
I think it's easy to say Ashton Jeanty or Omarion Hampton or one of those guys that being drafted at the 1-2 turn. I'm going to go with another second-year running back being drafted a little bit later. It's Quinshon Judkins. Judkins was a feature back. We don't have very many of those workhorses left in the NFL, but 19.2 touches per game from week 3 through week 15 for Quinshon Judkins. That Deuce Daly would like to give him the ball even more than that. They love this guy. I just had an awesome pass protection rep. I don't know if you saw that, but it was like one of those training camp highlights that maybe most people don't get excited about. I was very excited about. Yes, he's good at that too. And we think of him as a guy that's not going to catch any passes, but he actually had 16 targets in 5 games with Shedeur Sanders at quarterback. Really finished the season strong. I think all but one of those games, he had at least 3 targets. So he could be a 350 touch running back. He's one of my favorite sleepers to lead the NFL in rush attempts this year.
He's one of my Quinshon Judkins is a player that gives me a headache. I love Judkins. The guy that the tape was so much better than the stats, maybe more so than any running back I watched last year with Judkins. He's phenomenal, I think. But he did average 3.6 yards per carry because his offensive line was putrid. And they've trying to fix it. I don't know if they're going to. Could still be an issue. And he's coming off a fractured fibula and dislocated ankle in week 16. So he might not be the same player. Oh, man, he's a tough one. He's tough to resist in round 4. Dave, how do you feel about Judkins?
I think he's tough to resist in round 4, but I think he's easy to resist in round 3. And the biggest issue that I have is, are those two issues? Number one, are those targets going to keep coming? And number two, are the touchdowns going to be there? This is a Cleveland offense that I'm worried about scoring a ton of points this year. I love what they did with the O-line. I'm just worried that they're going to be in too many negative game scripts. And so if we get to the middle of the third quarter or the fourth quarter and Cleveland's trailing and Quinshon hasn't scored yet, are we getting 8 PPR points from him? Are we getting 12? 12 would be good. I think I'm going to draft him with the idea that he can average 12 per game, maybe a little bit higher by the time the season's over. But I'm a little bit worried about that upside given the environment he's in.
I do like the fact that he was on arguably the worst offense in the NFL last year. They were 31st in scoring. And in that week 3 through 15 stretch when he was really a full-time back, He played 12 games, had 7 touchdowns. I think you can expect somewhere around 10 this year, and unless things just go really well for the Browns.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you take away weeks 2, 8, and 16, okay, 3 games.
I wasn't doing 8 even, but yeah. Yeah,
he left that game early. 3 games where he played less than 40% of the snaps. So normal snap share games for Quinshon Judkins. He's on pace for 314 carries, only 23 catches, but more with Shedeur Sanders, and 11 touchdowns and more than 1,300 yards. I don't know quite how many fantasy points that added up to, but that's a workload you're going to take. Because I'll make this point a lot. There are, you know, if you start going, well, he's not going to play on passing downs, there aren't that many guys that are 3-down backs anymore. So who are the running backs going in the mid rounds? Travis Etienne, is he going to play on passing downs? Probably not. Maybe a little bit. I hope so. But they still have Kamara. Quinshon Judkins, probably not that much. DeAndre Swift, I don't know. He's going to alternate a little bit. David Montgomery, they're already talking about Woody Marks playing on third down. You're not getting that many guys who are 3-down backs. So don't let it hurt your evaluation of a player like Judkins too much if you think, oh, he's not going to play on third down. He's going to have to catch a little bit on first and second down, I hope. Okay. Dave, breakout.
You might have heard that it's easy to just go with Amarin Hapton and Ashton Gentry, so you might as well look for another second-year running back. I'm curious about Bashel Tootin, and I like the idea of drafting him. I prefer round 6. If it has to be late round 5, I would take it if I needed a running back, but huge opportunity for him in Jacksonville. Just look at what the Jaguars did with their running back group this offseason. They added Chris Rodriguez after they let Travis Etienne go. I don't view Rodriguez as someone that's a legit threat to take Tootin's workload away unless Tootin stinks coming out of the gate. Liam Cohen has been effusive in his praise for Bashel Tootin. 4.28 speed, wants him to focus more on just finding lanes and going and not worrying about ball security. That may have contributed to his 3.7-yard rushing average last year. I liked some of the random metrics that I found on him last year, like all 5 of his rushing touchdowns were inside the 5. He had a 71.4% success rate on his inside the 5 carries. He had a touchdown once every 13.3 touches last year. And when he did have a game where he was, I don't know if necessarily the feature back, but he had 15 carries against the Chargers in week 11. It was a blowout win. He only had one of those carries in the fourth quarter, so he was participating for the first 3 quarters pretty heavily. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry in that game. So I am hopeful that he does continue to get some big opportunities in a Jacksonville offense that was great last year but didn't have good efficiency in the run game. So maybe Tootin can bring that this year and be one of those second-year running backs that ends up being great for fantasy.
Do you have concerns about his offensive line? Because I know some people
sure,
do.
I do, but I also know that running backs like Tootin, I don't buy that he's a 3.7-yard per carry guy. I think he's better than that. And so if he's going to get more opportunities every single game, he'll break some longer runs just by nature of the opportunities that come with it. And I think, does that mean it's going to be 4.9? No, but it might be more like 4.1, 4.2. That's still okay. The volume to go along with it, I think he can still be a threat in the passing game. And I'm not ready to concede that Chris Rodriguez is going to be the goal line back for the Jaguars when Chris Rodriguez had a 35.7% success rate on carries inside the 5 last year in Washington.
I think that Chris Rodriguez, by the way, is practicing limited in individual drills. So he's working his way back, Chris Rodriguez, from a foot injury. Based on the research I've done, if you're going to be a really good fantasy running back on a team with a bad offensive line, usually you have to catch a lot of passes. So it's something to think about for the 2 running backs that we just mentioned as breakouts. Because the Browns had one of the worst offensive lines in football last year. The Jaguars didn't, but a lot of people are very down on their offensive line this year. And will either of those guys catch a lot of passes? I doubt it. But
well, what's a lot? You're thinking 3 a game minimum? Because I don't think they're going to do that.
I mean, like Devon Achan and Chase Brown were on bad offense. We had teams that had bad offensive lines.
And they had a ton of targets, yeah.
So it might even be more than that. I don't know that I have a specific number. But Tootin and Judkins, how many catches are they going to get? Are they even going to get 40?
No, I'd be surprised.
I have Tootin at 36, Judkins at 30.
Yeah.
I might even flip that and give Judkins the nod more than Tootin.
Okay. All right, so breakouts, Judkins for Heath and Tootin for Dave. And to see if that ADP rises, because there's been a lot of positive buzz about him for sure.
It's a race between him and Jadarian Price to see who can have the fastest rising ADP at running back.
I haven't really interpreted the Price stuff that way. Have you?
No.
I thought the fact that he was the first man up in their first full team, full pad scrimmage was telling. And if we continue to see things about his pass protection, and he's already been doing great stuff as a receiver, then I could imagine fantasy managers are going to get excited, maybe even too excited about Price.
That is quite a run. So Quinshon Judkins currently on CBS has an ADP right around 45. These are your round five running backs. Tootin and Travion Henderson are both at like pick 56.
Mm-hmm.
David Montgomery at pick 59. Jadarian Price at pick 60. And then a full round after those guys comes Pollard, Dowdle, Warren, and the crew.
It's not a bad group, but some of them really scare me. I mean, personally, I think Travion Henderson is the worst value in fantasy right now. He's going 50th overall in Fantasy Pros. I don't get it.
Trademark that.
Trademark what?
Worst value in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, would you agree? Am I missing something here?
There has been very little positive pre-training camp buzz about Travion, especially compared to last year, where every day he's doing this, he's doing that. I was impressed when I saw him at joint practice last year, and then the season came and everybody knows what happened. Now we're hearing good buzz about Ramondre.
Yeah.
And so I think you're right. I moved Travion down. He's outside of my top 24, obviously. He's closer to 70th than 50th. Much closer.
Heath, what do you think about Travion in the 50s?
I think that I have him pretty close to that. I've got him 62, and Tootin right behind him. Price is the one that I have a harder time with, just because I don't think George Helani is going to steal that many touches from him earlier in the year. I'm not entirely sure that I believe that the Seattle offense is going to be good.
Yeah.
Like there's a big, big question mark in terms of the play calling going from Kubiak to never called plays in the NFL. And I don't like the idea that, like, at the very least, it seems like Zach Charbonnet is trending towards being back for the second half of the season, which is the most important part of the season. Mm-hmm. So I don't really like drafting a guy that I think is going to be a 1B when I need him most.
Well, he could still be the 1A, but we know Charbonnet plays at the goal line and killed Ken Walker's sure. value for right. all those years. But also, they haven't even ruled out Charbonnet for week one, which is crazy. And, you know, Dave, you mentioned that Price had been getting all this work in the passing game. The way I interpreted it was because he needed a lot of practice in the passing game, because that wasn't his skill. So they were kind of working him out there to make him improve in that role. But I think that's kind of transitioning to busts a little bit, as we're spreading a little negativity here. So we'll take one last break. When we come back, we'll give you bust candidates at the running back position on Fantasy Football Today. Dave, who's going to be a bust this year at running back?
Not feeling it with Breece Hall. And I still think he's an RB2. I just think he's worth drafting around 50th overall, not 30th overall. 13 PPR points per game last year. That was on 17.4 touches per game and 3 targets per game. Now it's Frank Reich as the play caller, so they're changing offenses again. Reich has habitually used multiple running backs. Frank Reich has seen one of his running backs get 15-plus PPR points per game 3 times in 10 seasons as a play caller. That's because of the split. Jonathan Taylor's one of the guys that did amazing under Frank Reich, but that's Jonathan Taylor. It's not 25-year-old Breece Hall. It was a much younger Jonathan Taylor, and we've already heard the talk for the second year in a row about the Jets using a 3-headed backfield. I think they're going to commit to that again. That means you're going to see Braylon Allen stealing touches. It means you're going to see Isaiah Davis playing on third downs. And so Breece has a great chance to play 17 games, but I think it's hard to believe that he's going to average north of 15.5 PPR points per game, given the scenario around him, particularly on a team that I don't think is going to win a lot of games or score a lot of points.
Yeah, the thing I struggle with is I think Breece Hall at 25 years old, which is kind of entering your prime for a running back, is
it's true.
Really, really good. If you look, and I just sent the tweet, I don't know if we can get it up, but there, since Breece Hall entered the league, there are 3 running backs who have seen at least 200 targets and averaged at least 6.5 yards per target. Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, and Breece Hall. Breece Hall's an incredibly efficient wide receiver who has shown us the ability to see 80 targets in a game. I'm not sure what other things I have. Oh, there's...
I think
that's exactly right. Thank you very much, Thomas. I think he's earned it. Like, throw him the football. He is very, very good at earning targets, very, very good at producing on those targets. And maybe, like, it's possible that Frank Reich makes another bad decision. He's made a few of those in his career. He's made some good ones in his career. But he's just, I think he's too talented of a player for a team that should have a pretty decent offensive line, right?
Yes.
And he's been a very efficient both rusher and receiver, and he was an elite prospect coming into the NFL. I think he's awesome.
I can't disagree with that. And this isn't me saying that Breece Hall is a bad running back. Who could say that? But he's just in a really bad situation. I don't like the coaches around him, and I don't like the decisions that they're making. And I especially don't like propping him up based on how talented he is when over the last 2 years, what have the numbers been? It was 13 PPR points last year. And then 2 years ago, before Aaron Glenn was the coach, and when he was awesome for fantasy and he wasn't sharing with two other guys, he was still averaging 15.1 PPR points per game.
Yeah, it's like Breece Hall... What can get better for him? You know, what changes for him that, because he was RB21 per game last year. And I'm just a little surprised at his ADP that he's RB16 in Fantasy Pros ADP going 31st overall. If you were going in the fourth round, because my opinion is I don't really see how it can get much worse. RB21 last year feels like a floor for Breece Hall. I'm just not sure where the upside is because he's been in a bad offense every year. They never get to the goal line. We don't even, go ahead.
I mean, what can get better is pretty easy. 2023, he averaged 5.6 targets per game. 2024, he averaged 4.8 targets per game. Last year, he averaged 3.0 targets per game. And then the other thing is he's had four or five rushing touchdowns every year of his career. That may not get better. But he had 4 and 3 receiving touchdowns the two prior years, only had one last year. So I think you could see him score 2 or 3 more touchdowns and see 2 more targets per game. And all of a sudden, and the other thing, like Dave's 15 points per game, I actually don't have Breece Hall projected to score 15 PPR fantasy points per game. I just don't think you're finding guys that are projected to score 15 fantasy points per game in round 3.
15 points per game last year was basically Omarion Hampton and Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, or Achan, pardon me. So, yeah, okay. And look, if Quinshon Judkins, when he was healthy and had those, I gave that, you know, the games where he had the normal snap share. If Quinshon Judkins could have been on pace for 11 rushing touchdowns last year, there's no reason why Breece Hall can't finally score more than 4 touchdowns. He has been on a team that has been 30th or worse in goal line carries in 3 straight seasons. It's just the situation could not have been any worse for him. But I will point out, he lost his third down role. And that, I think, is why the targets went down, because they do use Isaiah Davis. They did last year use Isaiah Davis.
They're going to do it again.
Yeah. Who's a bust for you, Heath?
It's Bucky Irving. And I've probably talked about this enough, but he's outside of my top 24 running backs in my projections. I think, like, if you look at ADP, he's being drafted a round and a half to 2 rounds earlier than that group of round 5, like, I guess a round and a half earlier than the guys at the end of round 5, than that group of Tootin and Travion and those guys. And that's kind of, I think Bucky Irving should be right in the mix with those guys. I think he's a 44th right now in CBS ADP. 0 carries inside the 5-yard line last year. Yes, Rashad White's gone. Sean Tucker's still there. He's the guy who actually led the team in carries inside the 5. Wow. And the one thing that Bucky was good at last year was catching the football. And they go and bring in Kenneth Gainwell, who's pretty much a pass-catching running back. And so I think there's a little bit of risk that Gainwell's just better than Bucky. And at the very least, I think Gainwell is going to really hurt Bucky's upside.
There was a time last year when Bucky Irving was averaging 18 PPR points per game. It was September, first four games before he got hurt. In those games, he was averaging 22 and a half touches per game and almost five targets per game. They workhorsed him, and he broke down, and he had a hard time coming back from the injury. And I suspect Tampa is no longer interested in workhorsing him, particularly since Gainwell's there and Sean Tucker's there. And when they were giving Bucky all kinds of work, they were basically ignoring Sean Tucker. And so this could be a three-headed backfield on a team that I think is going to end up passing a lot anyway. And so if Bucky Irving isn't getting goal line carries, and we've talked about that, and if he's not going to get a target three plus targets per game, what are we doing with him? So I like where you're at with him, Heath. I agree that he is a bust candidate. He's barely inside my top 24. Part of that just has to do with the position not being amazing. It's pretty deep, but it's not deep enough to where I can push Bucky outside of there. But there's a lot to not like about Bucky Irving.
Yeah, the argument, I guess, against that would be what Dan Schneier made. I think Dan's come off of it a little bit, but it's like these are the guys where we look at him. If he really is the most talented running back in that backfield, then he'll emerge, you know, and he's not too expensive.
Well, I think we saw good evidence the last 2 years. Like, obviously, the pass catching was great for Bijan under Zach Robinson, but there was still a sharing, and there was no reason for Tyler Algier to be sharing with Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, but Bijan still had a big role. But yeah, okay. I mean, Bucky, he needs to catch a lot of balls on first and second down, and that is something that he could do on Tampa Bay. I mean, Baker Mayfield's done that in the past.
Dave's out on Breece. Do you still like Breece over Bucky?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you like Bucky or Judkins?
Oh, Judkins by a lot.
Judkins over Breece and Bucky.
Okay, because they're back-to-back in ADP. Let me get your thoughts on another player that I struggle with. I want to really believe in him, and I end up drafting him a lot. It's Travis Etienne Achane.
It's just Achane now.
Okay, Travis Achane. For those of you who are late to the party, that's how he wants his name said. It's weird that we have two Achans and they're spelled completely differently. They don't even start with the same letter.
Yeah.
What do you think about Travis Achane? Because he's been a frequent target for me in round four.
Is it a little patronizing to say that's how he wants his name said? Or maybe it's just that's how his name is said.
Well, it wasn't how his name was said. I didn't mean it to be patronizing, I promise. I intend to completely respect their wishes, but if you missed that, Travis, the guy that we
I was just
Travis
giving you a hard time.
No, I know.
If we called you Adam Easier for 4 years and then you go public and say, actually, it's pronounced Azer, I think you'd be a little annoyed if people were still calling you Easier.
I would. I just, for me, I don't know how many of our listeners or viewers are even aware. I mean, obviously, the ones who have
That's
been here
fine.
Forever, but the people who are just tuning in now, they're like, why is he saying his name that way?
The public service announcement is great.
Yeah.
I am very nervous about him. I highlighted last year when we were talking about Kamara how little Kellen Moore likes to throw to his running backs and how basically every running back that he's ever inherited has seen fewer targets per game than he did the year before Kellen Moore was his offensive coordinator. And then they went and drafted Jordan Tyson, who's apparently looking pretty awesome in camp now also. And they kept Alvin Kamara, who is pretty much only good at catching passes now. And so I think he might, it's funny when you think about like Achane in college with Trevor Lawrence and coming into the NFL, I saw this like PPR superstar. And now he might be a guy who's better in non-PPR leagues than he is in full PPR leagues. He's a low-end RB2. I prefer him to Bucky. I'd rather have Breece or Judkins to Achane. Travis.
And I've got Achane ahead of Judkins and Breece Hall, but there's definitely a tier break. Achane is my 18th ranked running back, and there's a definite tier break between him and everybody ranked ahead of him. I think the Saints had to make a move at running back because they were bottom five last year in overall rush yards for running backs, rush yards per carry, success inside the five, explosive rush rate, running back rush EPA, like any metric you could think of, they sucked. And a lot of that had to do with Kamara kind of being too old and their depth really being tested as the year went on. So signing Achane made a lot of sense, and he's not necessarily Mr. Efficiency either. In fact, he's kind of more of a compiler, but he's a fit for what they want to do with zone runs. I like the offensive environment a lot. I'm not ready to say that he won't be the goal line back for them, although his track record of being a goal line back isn't really that good. But I do think they want to use him a lot. So the question you have to ask yourself is, can he get 15 attempts per game? Can he get two or three targets a game? And if you think he can, then this is the guy that you'll target starting in round four as a potential RB2.
Kellen Moore, his top running backs in his history as a play caller or head coach or both, his top running backs have finished as RB5, 16, 19, 10, 20, 1, and 37 per game.
All right, so, and that was last year.
Last year was Kamara. He was the first time that Kellen Moore did not have a top 20 running back per game.
That's perfect.
Travis Etienne is RB18 in ADP. So again, who are we comparing him to? We're not comparing him to anyone that's playing on third down. We're not comparing Breece Hall, Quinshon Judkins. I mean, maybe Judkins, but we're not comparing him to anyone who's a three down back. That's why I don't care that much. And we've got Zeke had 54 catches, then 52 catches, then 47 catches. Tony Pollard had 39 catches. Austin Eckler had 51 in 14 games. Saquon Barkley had 33 in 16 games, but he was already, he had 2,000
yards. I'm glad you read the names after giving those running backs.
right.
Because he had like a Hall of Fame cast of running backs.
It's true.
He did, but they've all been good, and except for Kamara.
They were all really good before he got there.
And Kamara had 33 catches in 11 games last year.
That's a problem for Travis Etienne.
It is, but it still means like, I still think Etienne could have 35 catches. Right? And that's fine. I mean, you could be RB18 with that easily. But I don't know. Everybody's pretty high on the Saints offense. Why shouldn't I be high on their running back? I think the competition is pretty lousy.
That's fine. Just don't reach. I think the way you put it and the track record of all those amazing running backs, no one's drafting Etienne to see him go and finish as a top five fantasy running back. You're drafting him around RB18 because you think he's going to finish as RB18.
Yeah. I think he's going to be better than that.
Yeah. I think I just view him very similar to the round five guys, and he's going four picks higher than Bucky and closer to round three than he is to round five.
Yeah. I don't like that part.
Who are the round five guys?
The round five guys were Tutin, Montgomery, Jadarian Price, and Henderson. And actually, I think Pollard and Etienne's a pretty good, like Etienne's in a better offense, but I think they'll have similar roles.
Yeah, I mean, you get Tony Pollard a lot, so maybe we should talk about him, and then we can wrap up episode one, and episode two will just be a full ADP review. Pollard's 29 years old. Last year, he was basically RB29 per game in every format. Three straight seasons for Pollard, finishing somewhere between 22 and 30 per game. So convince me that he can be better than that. Or does he need to be better than that?
Where he's being drafted, I think you'd probably take that. I think that the positive for him is that the last five games of the season, when Cam Ward started to look somewhat like an NFL quarterback and the offense started to look somewhat functional, he was fantastic. He averaged over 100 yards per game in those five games. He actually scored three touchdowns in five games. He only scored 10 or only scored two in the first 12 games of the season. And so the hope is with Brian Daboll and Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson and hopefully Cam Ward taking a step forward, that Tony Pollard's no longer playing on one of the least functional offenses in the NFL.
Yes, that makes sense. And I do agree with you that at his ADP, he's great. But I was just comparing him to Etienne. I think Etienne's clearly better. But I'll tell you guys this, because I've tried to go through running back and wide receiver kind of hit rate in the mid rounds the last 4 years or so. So I'm, this rounds 4 through 7, whatever the heck I chose, right? There's not that much of a difference between like the guys who hit in round 4 and in round 6, let's say. You may even had more in round 6. Like ADP kind of flies out the window, I think, a little bit. You need to know it because that's how you know not to reach. But if you have conviction that a guy going in round 6 is better than a guy in round 4, you might be 100% right. History would say that their chances of being great are basically the same.
Agreed. I wanted to point out that Dable's track record suggests he prefers a split backfield and not one exceptional back. He has used one exceptional back, like Peyton Hillis in 2010, Jamal Charles 2012, Saquon Barkley, obviously, Cam Scataboo last year when he was going right. Of course, they rode him until he broke his leg. Each of those guys averaged at least 16 rush attempts per game, with one exception, and that would be Reggie Bush in 2011. Those are the only running backs who averaged at least 13 PPR points per game under Dable. So think about all the years that he's been on offenses and helping coordinate run games. There haven't been that many running backs that have gotten north of 13 PPR points, and most of them needed 16 rush attempts per game to do it. I'm not sure Pollard's going to get there. I mean, there's going to be games where Tennessee's in it and he'll have 16 plus carries. And those will be the games where we'll say to start him and you'll start him. But I think there's going to be just as many games where he's like 12 and it's 12 for 39 yards and one catch. And you're going to be really sad about it. So maybe 11 PPR points per game is what you should expect from him. And that's fine when we're talking late round six, round seven, an RB3 type of player. I don't see him the same way as Etienne at all.
Travis Etienne. We have to go first and last name. It's just how it's going to be. We didn't talk about Devon Etienne as a potential bust. I know that may be Jamie's pick. That's his pick for first round. Yeah. The guy who currently has a first round ADP that is most likely to be a bust. You know what? Why don't we save that for part two? We will go through a full ADP review of the running back position, beginning with the very first pick in the draft, which right now is Jahmyr Gibbs. Thank you so much for watching and listening. By the way, wait. Oh, no, never mind. All right, our show, our RB preview, we were thinking about doing it tonight. We're going to do it tomorrow. But I think we're live on the air tonight, 6:45 to 7:15, to pump up the FFT Open. Yes. So youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Join us at 6:45 p.m. Eastern. Wish I had told you all about that earlier in the show. We will see you then to get you ready for the greatest fantasy football tournament that's ever been. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk to you tonight on Fantasy Football Today.
Paramount Podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Pluto Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, just stream it for free on Pluto TV, where all your blockbuster favorites are landing all summer long. Catch Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Fantastic!
The Matrix Trilogy.
Welcome to the real world.
Mean Girls.
Shut up!
Titanic.
I'm the king of the world!
And so much more. For showtimes, press nothing. They're free 24/7.
That is so fetch.
On Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.